This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, where it is not negative 5 degrees. It is a beautiful day, and I am so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper the 2022 Patsy award-winning author, and I think one of the greatest. I am so thrilled with this new book. I could just write a review with one word. Love it. Well, no, two words. Love it, love it, love it. Gabrielle St. George, hi, you're back.
Yay. Hey, I am so happy to chat with you again, Patsy. Holy crap.
Oh, wow, this is so cool. This is so, well, it is so cool for you. Well, you're living in my freezer, I think.
Oh, we are like at opposite ends of the world. I am on my farm. It's snowy. There's like some freezing rain, so I'm hoping the internet connection holds. It's darn cold, but we had that crazy storm, you know, over Christmas. You guys, it was pretty cold for you over Christmas, right?
Yeah, it got down to 33 degrees.
I'll tell you how bad it was here. I've never in all my years seen this much snow. And all four of my kids live in Europe. They're all live in London, England right now. And so they were all flying in. I had two of them here, and then two flew in on the 23rd, and it was the night of the storm. So I knew, everyone knew a couple days ahead, so I wasn't comfortable driving because I've moved further north. So I'm like, you know, 3.5 hours in drive from me to the airport in Toronto. So I, first of all, got them a couple bus tickets, but 2 days before the storm, they canceled all the buses. So I hired a private driver, and the driver picked them up, and after 5 hours, my kids texted me and said, the driver says he can't go any further. So it was just complete whiteout. The roads are impassable. So my two sons went and slept at the driver's house. They don't know him. And then the next day is Christmas Eve. And I'm, you know, I think the driver wanted to be with his family. And so a cousin contacted me who I reconnected with when I moved up here. And she had a daughter living in the town where my kids were stranded. So I'd never met her. So my kids spent Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with strangers, but you know what? Everyone opened up their homes to stranded people. That was the good part, but the bad part was lots of people were on their own for Christmas. But we're getting more this week.
Oh, well, it gives you something more to write about.
That's it. Fodder, fodder, fodder.
Exactly. Oh, the new book, How to Kill a Kingpin. You know, this is book number two in this wonderful series, The Ex-Whisperer Files. And when I got the first one, I remember reading it by the pool. And I got such a kick out of it, which is why you were selected for the Patsy Prize. But when I got this one, I wanted to go down to the pool and read it. And it was, you know, one of these wonderful balmy days. And I got so mad at you. I said, oh, she can't do it. She's horrible. She's terrible. This is awful. First of all, she's making me laugh too much. The people around me think I'm crazy. And then you're writing about food in Toronto. Oh, that's not fair. That's not fair.
It's a foodie world. It is.
This is so, well, this book has everything that I love. First of all, of course, another list. And like me, you like lists, and I love lists. I'm always writing lists. I have tons of lists. And this one starts off, and it's very funny. Top 9 reasons to skip your high school reunion. And I love all of them. I thought, oh boy, this is really good, and I think everybody will really appreciate this because the number one is high school was not the highlight of your life. In fact, it sucked. I think a lot of
it's true for many.
A lot of people can relate to that one. And of course, there's always the number five. I like that one. Having to watch your old exes, old crushes, dad dance. That's one I hadn't thought. That's good. And then, of course, the number nine is really great. Someone could get murdered, and you might be next. And from there on, the story gets better. You know, you have more fun in the first three pages of this book. The most writers have in their entire books. This is just...
Oh, that's so nice.
It's delightful. It's delightful. I love it. Of course, the idea... I think there's a lot of you in this. The Y-O-U, like in the reunion. It's so much fun... All the things that you write about, of course. Explain to us who your main character is, because I think is based on you, is, or at least your personality, and tell us about the ex-whisperer files. And Gina.
I mean, Gina Malone, she really is me, but just like a better version. She's a bit braver, probably a bit smarter, maybe a bit funnier. Definitely braver, though, and that is my mantra for this year, be brave, braver. But, yeah, she's pretty much me. My kids get a kick out of the books because it's like, Mom, this is an autobiography. Not quite, but close. It's true. She turns 50 in the book, the first book, but the second book takes place just a couple weeks later than the first book. And, yeah, she's pushed the restart button on a whole new life. She sells up everything in the Toronto area where she's been for decades and moves back up north to a little tourist town on the shores of Lake Huron. As a Michigander, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. In the summer, sometimes I'm on the beach and I'm like, am I in the Caribbean or Clearwater? And in the winter, it's like, am I in the tundra? Is this the Antarctic or the Arctic? I'm not sure. But, yeah, it is pretty autobiographical. And on that note, she does attract a lot of whack jobs. And I have to say, that's also autobiographical. And I often wonder to myself, is it a DNA thing? Is it, you know, a magnetic field thing? But can someone, like, actually physically attract nuts? Because if they can, I'm like, my hand is up, which is weird, but true.
Well, it is, as I said, when I got it and I'm done at the pool and I'm reading and I just, I had a libation and I was just cracking up. And one after another, of course, when I got to the, I love books with letters. I've always loved books with letters ever since, you know, I just, from Middlemarch on, I just love books with letters. And now, of course, they're emails.
Right.
But so we start off with we know that we have a reunion. And those things are sort of scary. Now, did you ever do your reunion?
You know what? We only had a reunion at my school when it was like, I think it might have been like 5 or 10 years after I graduated. Oh, maybe, yeah, it was early on. And I think there was one that I missed. I was away. But not a big, huge one in the last like 25 years. No. You? Did you go to yours?
Oh, my gosh, no. not if you paid me.
Right?
No.
I know.
No.
You know, one thing I say in the book, which I think is true, is it's kind of like social media has made a school reunion is kind of redundant because we already get to follow our classmates if we want to, if we're interested, or just like, you know, anonymously creep their walls. But we pretty much know who's got grandkids and what they're doing and where they're living now from Facebook and Instagram. So it's kind of redundant in a way, I think.
Well, yeah, but there's nothing like actually seeing people stuffed into tight jeans that they shouldn't be wearing. I love how you described Gina as a floater in high school. Were you a floater going between the different groups? Because that's what I was.
I was, you know, with the theater nerds, and I was friends with some of the druggies, and, you know, with the jocks. And, yeah, I could just kind of go around and you know, interact with all of them, just kind of peripherally, which is pretty much how I do life now, too. Just on the fringe of everybody's stuff.
Yeah, I was the same way. I mean, I was pretty enough to be and athletic enough to be a cheerleader. And in fact, they wanted me to. But then I was the intellectual, probably of the entire school. And somehow I it didn't quite mesh. And I also worked. I had a job. I was a candy striper at a local hospital. And at 3:30, when that bell rang, I was off to the hospital for the afternoon shift. So it didn't work out, but they were nice to me. They were nice to me because I was pretty, but I was also in the nerdy group because I was the only one who loved Latin so much that for the first time in the school's history, they actually had to do 4 years of Latin because I insisted that I wanted. My Latin teacher was like in hog heaven because she's like, what? Nobody wants. And so we kept it up for 4 years. And the last.
That's amazing.
And the that last year, there were only five students, and I was doing the homework for three of them. And and the other one who was doing his own homework was mostly because we were translating Ovid, and he wanted to translate all the. Well, let's just say things that he couldn't talk about in English. So it was a lot of fun. But yeah, I was a floater. I did hang out with mostly the nerds because I loved chemistry also. Only two classes I liked, chemistry and Latin, because, you know, I'd already read like 5,000 books when I got to high school. So I was a little bit ahead.
English wouldn't have been interesting, right?
Nah.
You were so far ahead, it was slow. You sound exactly like I was, too. Even I worked five nights a week on Saturdays. Like, my family didn't have money. If I wanted anything, you know, from the age of 13 on, I was earning my own money. And we did what we had to do, right? And I'm still like that. Whatever needs to get done, whatever needs doing, I do it. Right? It's a bit survivalist. But you still ambitious, you still excel. I mean, I skipped a couple of grades too. Look, we're just smarty pants and hard workers.
And definitely hard workers. And I love in your book, you have two eccentric aunts, and I had a half dozen eccentric aunts. But boy, they are great to have, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, that is a fun thing. That's a fun thing about family. Flip side, there's some real creeps in my family, but the old aunts are great.
Well, you know, we all have them. But I love this spattering of Italian throughout, you know, and aunts kissing your cheeks and that kind of thing. That always makes me feel good when I find that in a book.
Yeah, a lot of people love the aunts. Their faves.
Well, you obviously have a lot of fun writing. I mean, you're getting a kick out of it, and I think it's so nice. I like when, you know, I mean, do you sometimes just stop when you write a really great sentence and say, "Whew, man, I'm pretty cool"?
No, I don't do that. But sometimes when I read later, you know, and if I can put work away for a few weeks and come back to it. When I read it later, I'm like, oh, damn, that's pretty good. Who wrote that? You know, someone sneak in the night and get on my laptop. It's like I don't even remember really writing the best stuff. But when I'm writing it, it's mostly me questioning myself. Sometimes I'll chuckle to myself and then I know I'm on the right track while I'm writing, but mostly it's after the fact.
Well, let's get back to Gina. Now, she gets, of course, she is the ex-whisperer. She gets, explain why people are writing to her.
So she's an expert on exes. And the thing about, you know, being a horse whisperer or any other kind of whisperer is we kind of assume that they have mastered the art of communicating with whatever that thing is. For Gina, she's good at doling out the advice, but not so great in applying it in her own life. And she's got a crazy ex, and like I said, does attract more. But she's not a psychologist or anything. She's kind of like a Miss Lonely Hearts / Dear Abby type. She's got a column, which, you know, newspaper column nowadays, more like a blog, and podcast. And she does all those things and writes relationship advice books. And I think we discussed this last time you and I chatted, but I wrote 3 relationship advice books that my publisher published, and they're written by the ex-whisperer. So they were written by Gina, how to break up with, you know, say how to say so long to Mr. Wrong, and then one on narcissists, and then one to tell if your partner's lying or cheating. So those were just like kind of fun books that I had her write, and that's why she is kind of famous.
So we have a series of letters. I don't want to give everything away, but let's just say somebody writes to her that he or she is going to make the reunion very interesting with a little bit of revenge. And I think there are people who do go to reunions with the idea of a little bit of revenge, at least, you know, coming in looking better than everybody else or richer than everybody else. And this person has a little bit of a, it's not the right attitude, let's say.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think people go to reunions for all different kinds of reasons, sometimes just to see, you know, how well everyone else did. But yeah, a lot of people, you know, go on liquid diets and stuff before they go to a reunion.
And, you know, I wanted to just read one sentence. It's an example of the kind of sentences you write and you just sort of throw in there, and it's just a you know, a sentence within a paragraph, but it stands out, and it shows the kind of quality of writing that you have. And I'm going to read it. Because it's it just struck me. You're writing about people going back to reunions, and then you write about the person who is trying to scare people. And all you write, it's a simple sentence, and I'm going to read it. So it says, "Still, because I am me, I take the next hour to sit and stare and elude life." I mean, that is so true. I mean, that's the kind of thing that people do. But you write it down, and I thought, I love that.
That is so nice, and that is a good sentence. Are you sure it's from my book?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good sentence. Someone might have snuck in my house in the night and written that one then when I was asleep.
Well, you know, that's the kind that you can, like, do a little placard and, you know, put it up. Maybe you can get on the list of quotable people, because aww. I think that is really, it's just, well, I don't know, classy writing. I love it. And you have that type of writing throughout the book, that just one little sentence in a paragraph that sets it off from everybody else's writing. Original, clever, thoughtful. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah, I love you so much. You're just the most generous, and beautiful person. Thank you.
And I love, I was so worried. Now, we will say that Gina has a love interest, Hugh. And for just a moment, I was really worried that he would have gone to the high school. So he would be at the reunion, and then he might be, well, we'll say, the person who might be seeking revenge from somebody. Well, we don't know if it's a guy or a gal, but, you know, we hope that it's not Hugh, because you have a nice scene there where she does a little bit of kissing that is so observable from her aunt's point of view. I love it. And then you compare him to Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And I thought, yeah, man, I like you.
Yeah, is there a better looking middle-aged man in Hollywood?
Oh no, he's great. What a choice! I thought, what a choice. Did you send him a book?
I didn't. No.
What is wrong with you, girl?
I never thought of that.
Are you
right.
out of your mind? This guy is. I mean, he's got a following. Lots of women. Lots of women follow him. Please, immediately, you take a book and you write a very, very, very nice message to him, and you send it to him and ask him if he would take a selfie with it, and then ask him if he'd come to visit you.
Ask him if he'd marry me.
That's what I love. When people have somebody like that to use in their promotion of their book. It's like, well, when people have mention of Elvis or something, use the famous person that you are writing, or you're using his name, for goodness sakes. Use this guy. I think we'd all like to use this guy.
Right? I guess I just send it to... it's a great idea. I'm going to follow your advice. I guess I could only send it to his agent, though. Who knows if it would ever get to him, but it's worth a shot.
Oh,
for sure.
Yeah. For him, he needs publicity. They're always looking for publicity. So you send him a beautiful picture of you holding the book. And next thing you know, it'll be on his Facebook page. With your write him something really, you know, that's very literary that they would want to quote in the Facebook. And
I'll actually send him a picture of me holding up my Patsy Award.
Oh.
That is like one of my favorite things of 2022. You just made my year. I'm still not, I wasn't surprised, Patsy. I was shocked and beyond honored, and holy crap. That was amazing. So I'll send him that picture.
Holding How to Kill a Kingpin and the Patsy Award. You send it to him. And by the way, you know, mention my name. He is gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
He is absolute. One of the things I do here, I promote books. And I promote authors. And I come try to think of clever ways to do it. And this is, you have here something so perfect for publicity that...
You're right. It's a great idea.
And you know, get your local newspaper. You have a local newspaper. Get them to write a story about it. Have his picture, your picture. Next thing you invite him. Invite him to the next event in your town. He could be... You do a parade for him. My goodness, do you know how many... do you know how many women follow him?
I know loads of women love him.
Oh, just look at the his fan base. You've got a winner here. I knew when I read the first book, when I read book one, I said, you know, this is book one, and it's great, and I loved it. But then when I got book two, I said, my gosh, I was so right to select her. Of all the people I could have selected, I knew that we have a winner here. This is a real winner. And you're a real winner in so many ways, because you come out with a great character, a great storyline, and you have all this very smart, sophisticated writing in it, and yet it's all so accessible, and it's so much fun. So I'm telling you, I know that we're going to have another book in 2023, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I gotta just blow my nose. I'm crying here from what you're saying. I mean, it's so beautiful. Thank you, girl.
I think you are amazing, and I don't have much more time, but I wanted to make sure that I pointed out to you my idea here for publicity. And I think that it would be great for you and for me too, because I think it would be wonderful if you're going to invite him up and do a parade for him in your local community. Then you can invite me up, and I will join you.
He's more likely to want to go to Florida. I'll come down to you. Well, ask him to come down there.
Well, yeah, we could do that. We have nice beaches here, but it's funny, most people don't realize that, like on Lake Huron, you have beautiful beaches, just like we had on Lake Superior, beautiful long white beaches. Of course, there we had black flies.
we got some.
Yeah, but it's still, I think you're fantastic, I want to have you back on, and we have to talk more about, oh, about everything. I just could talk to you for hours. But
oh, me too, Patsy. Just what a gal you are. What a great gal you are. OMG, I'm so lucky to have you in my life. Thank you so much, girl.
Well, I think you're wonderful. And tell people your website, and then I'll add one more thing before I let you go.
Yeah. It's my name, GabrielleSt.George.com, and the third book in the series, How to Bury a Billionaire, will be out this year, in the fall.
Okay, and you will be back, and we will be talking about you, and I hope that, you know, just people get this book. As I said, three pages. My jaw was aching. I love when my jaw aches because I'm laughing so hard. It's a wonderful book. Really great. You're great. And again, it's available online wherever books are sold. And it is How to Kill a Kingpin. And Gabrielle St. George, you are wonderful. Thank you for being on Joy on Paper today.
Oh, you're a dream, Patsy. You're fabulous. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay. We'll go to commercials and then I'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. And I am back, and I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Michelle Renee DeBellis, and the name of her book is The Music We Make. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you, Patsy?
Okay, well, I'm so happy, actually, that I was supposed to talk to you back in December, but I'm actually happy that we're doing it today, because I think your book is so timely. It is a book, I'll let you explain the story, but essentially it's a book about a young man whose mother is killed in a traffic accident. And at this time, it is rather timely, as We know in the news, I don't want to mention the name, but in the news we have somebody who's gone through that trauma. And you write very sensitively in this book about the storyline about this kind of tragedy. And in your case, your main character is Santiago de Angelo, who is a 22-year-old songwriter. And when his mother is killed, his life changes. So do you want to explain the story and perhaps how you came out with the idea?
Absolutely. I would love to. Thank you for the opportunity and thank you for having me on. The story, as you said, as a young man's life changes dramatically when he and his mother are both in an accident that she does not survive. And it's at this moment, this turning point in his life where he's nearly graduating with an architectural degree and he's ready to go into follow his father's footsteps. And they're actually having a conversation about, is this what you really want to do? And he's telling his mother for the first time in 4.5 years that he is resenting that he's left his music behind. And she tells him, I'm going to do whatever it takes for you to get to follow your heart. And in that moment, they are hit by another vehicle. And there's this terrible accident that she does not survive, even though he tries desperately to save her life. He's not able to do that. And in the hospital, he undergoes several surgeries and is prescribed prescription after prescription of Vicodin and Valium and Ambien. And that is an experience that I had when I had a very serious car accident many, many years ago and went through the medical systems. That was just what they did at the time. They just prescribed opiates. And I had this kind of intense experience around that that I wanted to write into a story and share to provide a little bit of empathy for the people that have undergone that situation and also to show readers how the best way out of those kinds of difficult situations are through a human connection, friendship, and understanding that comes with loving relationships. But also the book is really about, in the case of losing this close relationship with his mother, how destructive we become when we lose our close relationships and how the only way to really heal ourselves is to find new relationships that bring us, make us whole again. And as to kind of give you a better idea about the story behind the book, my husband lost his mother suddenly many years ago and was writing a beautiful song for her. And it's a gorgeous song. It's called Bird of Paradise, and you can download it anywhere music is streamed, Apple Music or Spotify are the best places to find it. And he spent years and years and years writing this gorgeous song, this absolutely beautiful piece of music. And while I was recovering from the accident I mentioned, all of the opiates that, you know, I was being prescribed, it kind of came to me, you know, what about a story of a man like my husband who lost his mother, but kind of blending the story that I was experiencing, became addicted to all of these opiates, and received the song, just as my husband did all those years ago, received the song from the other side, which felt like a full song that he sort of has to become the man he needs to be to write this song. And so it was really... For me, it was this opportunity to show my husband all of the ways in which the pain that he was experiencing in his life was blocking from writing the song. And the really beautiful thing is that as I finished the final draft of this novel, my husband also finished the song. So it felt like this wonderful confirmation that everything I set out to do, I had already achieved.
Well, it's a very touching book. The story of Santiago and his progress through this after taking these drugs and how he deals with things and how his life changes and about his writing music and looking for the beauty in life, I thought was so touching and so really beautifully written. I love the cover of the book, by the way. It's gorgeous.
Thank you. I'm very proud of it. I worked very hard. I worked with many designers over the course of, gosh, I don't know, 6 months. And I just wasn't happy. There was nothing that was quite right. There was nothing. There was a cover I was excited about for a while. It was two beautiful, beautiful people. But I didn't want anyone to have a preconceived idea about what the characters looked like. And so I really wanted something like as you see on the book, where there's just a silhouette of a man and a woman, that lets you know that it's a love story and lets you know that it's beautiful. And I just wanted people to see right away, oh, this is beautiful, because I think it's really beautiful.
And that there's a golden thread throughout the book, this music.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm so glad you saw that.
I felt it, and it's embossed, this one, and I just love this cover. And I, you know, for the longest time I was just holding it, and it'd be next to my reading chair, and I would pick it up and I would touch it, and I love it. And as I said, the story is so important, and it's told so beautifully that I hope people will get this one. One, because right now they are listening to a nonstop story about a son who's lost his mother and obviously has serious problems ongoing, and perhaps has never found any peace. And so I think that an understanding also addiction, I was in a similar situation almost, but I had a wonderful nurse who said to me, look at that, you know, the pain thing that they have on the wall. Give your number, right? They always say, give your number. And she said, don't give it. And I said, what do you mean? She said, don't give a number, because that was formed by the drug companies so that you put a number and then they'll give you more drugs. The more you put a big number, the more drugs you'll get. And I didn't know that. I mean, but she was so smart, and she knew I was Finnish, because we had talked about my background. And she said, because she knew the word sissu, which is a word that sort of means tough. And she said, tough it out. She said, don't give them a number. It's a terrible thing. She was so against it. And so I actually, although I was in pain, I suffered the pain, and I never had this. But there's so many other people who do, and so many people don't understand what they are doing by giving these massive amounts of pain medication. That
right. Well, you know, it's funny what you say too about the number, because that's the scene in the book where I talk about the number. But I feel like one of the things I experienced with the number, like you're just describing, is that my addiction wanted to speak for me. My addiction would say, say a higher number, because I had sort of figured that out, what you're saying. And that's one of the things I talk about in the book, is how even as a rational, intelligent person, you know what's right and wrong for you, but your addiction tries to give you a new logic and have a voice in your mind, and that voice comes out loud and gets you further into trouble. With the addictions you have, and both Kitty Holiday experiences that, and Santiago D'Angelo experiences that, and I feel like it's a really, really valuable thing for people to recognize, oh, this is a separate voice from my own rational mind, and I can ignore it, and I don't have to let it speak to me.
And because the drug companies have a reason to want you to take more and more and more.
Yes, exactly.
And there is no, I mean, we know it in our hearts, in our minds. We know that we can take a little bit of pain. We can, you know, just manage.
If we can't take off our pain, then we've been told by this society that wants to eliminate pain with a drug.
Yep. And
especially in this case, when you're suffering emotional pain and physical pain at the same time, I think it's much more challenging.
That's it, because people who have gone through, you know, not just, you know, it's not surgery or it's not something, it's they've also got this loss of a person in their life. It's a sort of a double whammy. You want the pain medication not so much for the physical pain, for the mental pain, but that really doesn't
right.
solve the problem.
Where one of the characters asked them, you know, when you were taking all of the Vicodin to ease this emotional discomfort, did it help? And he said, no, it didn't. It just made me, it just distracted me. It didn't help at all. It just distracted me and also kept me from doing the thing that would actually do.
That would have helped, exactly. And it's like... And they really do this, and including particularly in Europe, they have laughing gas, and some people think that's going to make them feel better. But in the end, nothing makes you feel better until you get control of yourself and take it on yourself to make yourself better and to help. You know, get the help that you need. So there's so many reasons that I think people should read this book. As I said, of course, the writing is wonderful. And you're a born writer. I want to talk about that in a minute. But the name of this book is The Music We Make. And it's a very, I want people to get this book because as we're talking right now about it, certain person who's got a situation, I think reading this story will help us put things in perspective. And then one of the things that I wanted to talk about, I was so intrigued when I went to your website. I love the story about how you started writing because it is a beautiful story. And I want you to share it with people because I think it's says so much, first of all, about you, but also about how people, sometimes people don't realize that, yes, they have these ideas, and you just write this story so beautifully. So tell us about when you started writing.
All right. Well, I believe the story you're talking about. I love this story so much. I was in the sixth grade, and a teacher had given us this assignment to write about an empty room. And I wrote about how the room was empty because there was no love, there was no friendship, there wasn't any soul. I talked about a lot of intangible things. And when I got the assignment back, the teacher had written in red all over the place that I didn't follow the instructions, that it was supposed to be at a room that didn't have any chairs or furniture in it, and describing its emptiness. And I remember it was one of those moments where I said to myself, she's wrong. This authority figure is wrong, and you're right, and you can trust what you did, where the only thing that really matters to make anyone feel empty is whether or not they're feeling loved or appreciated and feel boistered by different kinds of things. And so I took it home and I showed it to my mother, and she said, Michelle, you're a writer. And I was 10 years old. And at that moment, I decided, you know, I am a writer. And it was such an exciting moment. I'll never forget the way that I felt, how profound it was. And I sort of decided in that moment, as I said, you know, that that's what I would do with my life. And I began reading every genre of book there was, and just read four or five books a month for dozens of years to find out which type of book I wanted to write, what type of genre I was going to write in, whether I was going to write in first person or third person, or write plays or poetry, all of which I put a hand in and decided, I'm a novelist. I want to write a novel.
You are a writer. I mean, this, I got tears in my eyes when I read it. It just, I was thinking, oh, if I had been your teacher, I would have just taken your hand and marched you around the room, and then I would have told all the other kids, let's just march Michelle down the hallway to celebrate that we are in the midst of a great writer. She is brilliant. I would have taken your hand and I would have said, okay, kids, we're going to follow Michelle down the hallway. We're going to dance and we're going to sing because a writer is born here.
I'm dancing right now just thinking about it in my imagination. But I have to tell you, I did have a lot of teachers who more or less did what you're talking about. And for me, it was so uplifting and so important and so valuable, but it did not earn me a lot of friends. I have to tell you that it created a lot of envy and jealousy amongst my peers. And that's okay. That's fine.
Okay. But because, I mean, you could have given up right there with that. If your mother hadn't said it, you could have given up. And the loss would have been enormous until eventually you would have discovered it. But you might have gone through years and years of just sadness because you had this in you. Do you know you could take thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of kids and they would never, ever think to write what you wrote? What you wrote was so brilliant that they should have celebrated you that day. They should have done a party for you. They should have said, next day, everybody bring in cupcakes because we're going to have a Michelle Day. Because if you explain it to kids and say, look, here we have somebody who's going to be writing stuff that will make people's lives better, will change their life, will do wonderful things. Michelle should have been celebrated. Little Michelle should have been celebrated, and I think I love that story because I did have a third grade teacher who called me stupid. I mean, she just
the impact that those kinds of things make.
Well, she used the word dumb because in those days they used dumb for stupid. Now they couldn't use dumb, but she called me dumb. Because I was from northern Michigan and I talked with a funny accent. I talked like this and I didn't, you know, although I was the smartest one, I was in third grade and I had already read 1,000 books, you know, but she called me dumb in front of all the students. So teachers, honestly, as I said, I'm so happy that you did get great teachers, but teachers' words can mean so much. And I love this story. So I want people to go to your website, which is Michelle Renee DeBellis. I love your name. It's so pretty. And you're so beautiful. You look like a movie star yourself. My goodness.
I appreciate that.
You look good there. And read this little story. You've done a wonderful job with this book, and I hope people will get it. It's about a son who's lost his mother, and he deals with it eventually. And we have to, you know, encourage people to read this story and feel sorry for people who are in the news who obviously have not quite gotten to that point. So, again, your website is great. And the name of the book, again, is The Music We Make, a novel by Michelle Renee DeBellis, who looks like a movie star, very French and very elegant, beautiful. And thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you. It was wonderful. Thank you, Patsy.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye. Wow. What a story, people. Thinking about that, thinking about kids and thinking about the importance of books, I want to play a book buzz that Devon Miller has done for us. It's a wonderful book buzz. It's about a girl who loves books, and we will hear it right now.
Hey, everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety Talk Clock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. It's a new year, so what better way to start the new year by reading a new book? Unsure which book to read? Don't worry, Stacy has you covered. Stacy is the character from the brand new book, Stacy's Remarkable Books. This, based on a true story, was written by Stacey Abrams and illustrated by Kit Thomas. Stacey's Remarkable Books tells the story of Stacey, who loves getting lost in her favorite books. Stacey eventually meets a girl named Julie, who has little trouble reading in English. Together, they start sharing books so she can practice, and the rest of the students in their class join along. Almost 10 years ago, Stacey Abrams received an unexpected note from Julie, thanking Stacy for her friendship and how they were able to bond over books. It was this friendship that became the basis for the book. already the number one new release for children's books on girls and women's issues on Amazon, Stacy's Remarkable Books is the companion to the number one New York Times bestseller, Stacy's Extraordinary Words. It's a tale from Stacy's childhood about the power that books have. When reading this book, I think this book will have the power to bond people together. Just like how Stacy and Julie's friendship stemmed from a bond over books. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's Book Buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
Okay, another wonderful, wonderful book buzz from Devon. And I want to also mention another children's book, and this one is called Ileana the Iguana, and it is written by Ileana Fotopoulos and illustrated by a friend of Joy on Paper, Andrea Hiotis. And I'm holding it up to the camera. And this is a delightful children's book. And it is really, I love this iguana, and Andrea is a wonderful artist, and she's done beautiful illustrations throughout the book. She wrote me a beautiful note sending me the book, and I love it. It's just beautifully done, and as I always tell you, if you have a little bit of spare money, why don't you go straight to the internet, go to Amazon, and order this book. It's called Ileana the Iguana, and you can order one and send it to a children's hospital near you, or to St. Jude, or to Shriners Hospital. Send it, because the kids need books, and because this is a small, not a very big book, and it doesn't cost that much. You know, depending on how much money you have, send 5, send 10, and send them to the hospital, because the kids in the hospital need books. And it is so heartbreaking to think of them in the hospital and not having books. When the pandemic came along, they stopped sharing books, and I don't think they've started again. So they really need books. All the hospitals need books for children. So just send it. All you have to do is go to Amazon and send it directly to the hospital as a donation. And the hospitals will appreciate it, and the children will love it. And Devon Miller, who is St. Petersburg Sunshine Ambassador, who himself spent quite a bit of time in a hospital when he was a kid, which is the reason that he does the book buzzes for kids, so that we can help promote books and send these books to the kids. Because, you know, everybody, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, and you won't know unless you start writing. So get busy. Start writing. It's the beginning of the year. And say something nice to somebody every day. And I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything you do. And I appreciate it. And we're going to have another busy year. My goodness, I've got so many wonderful guests coming up. And he saluted me, and I saluted him, because I should have been a general. Oh, boy, that would have been fun. Everybody, take care and have a wonderful, wonderful, and joy-filled day. Bye-bye.